Okay, so the issue I want to deal with today is the question of the laws of Ona with regards to a balabayit, where the person selling is not a professional businessman. He's selling private property. What exactly does it mean to sell his private property, his personal items? The Gemara outlines that there seems to be an exception to the laws of Ona for a balabayit, and what we want to do is figure out what exactly the parameters of that exception are. Does it apply only when a balabayit is selling? What if a balabayit is buying? Who it actually counts as a balabayit? Is it anybody who's private? Is it only specific types of items? And why is there such an exception? And how does it affect the parameters? So that's the questions we're going to try to deal with. Okay, so just to read the central Gemara here, this is the Gemara on the top of Nun Aleph and Aleph. So the Gemara says, "Ugavre davinoket varshachei lizavune." So there's this person who wanted to sell this chain of pearls. Karashisa v'shavei chamsha. So he sold it for six, it was worth five. V'yavu yavalei chamsha opalga. So then the person realized that if he gave... if someone offered him five and a half, he would take it. Have a shakil. So asahu gavra v'amar. So a person wanted to come and buy the item, and he realized. He said, if I give him five and a half for five, so then that's less than a sixth, and then I won't get any of my money back because I'll be mochel. So etin leishisa, let me give him six, which will be ona'a, machzer ona'a v'at beladina, then I'll claim the extra one, and I'll pay five. They paid the exact value. So also made the Rava. So they came to Rava and Amar Leilo Shana Blo Keach Menataga. You're right in terms of your calculations, but there's another problem, which is that you bought it. You didn't buy it from a merchant. Aval Blo Keach Me Vala Buy It Ain Lo Lavona. If you buy it from a private person, so the laws of Ona don't apply, and therefore you cannot. Therefore, you cannot claim Ona. Now, we'll see. This Gemara is going to create a lot of problems, and I'm still not totally sure how to deal with it. Because as we'll see, many of the Rishonim are going to assume that the reason there's limitations on the laws of Ona with regard to a balabayit is the assumption that anyone buying from a balabayit knows that the balabayit is going to overcharge, and therefore they're mochel, or they're okay with it. The problem is, in this case, he clearly wasn't okay with it. And yet the Gemara says it's fine. So we're going to have to try to fit that in. The Rishonim don't fully address that, at least not in a way that's adequate for me. But
you saw the Matnei Ephraim, it's just a hard and fast rule.
Right, I mean, yes, you can say lo plug like the Rush, and I mean, it's not just the Machane Ephraim, but at least at first glance, all the Rishonim that say it's about Mechila, right?
No, I don't mean it as a lo plug. In other words, everybody going in knows this is the rule when you deal with a balabayit.
Correct, but he didn't know
that. But he didn't know.
Right, that's my point. Right, no, and that's why if you say it's a lo plug, it's a rule. My point is that the assumption, this line, that it's clear that even though he didn't know he was a balabayit, the laws still apply, are going to push us in the direction that despite the fact we're going to see a lot of language of mechila, right, we have to temper it and say maybe it's not really mechila, it's mechila led us to come up with a formal rule even when mechila doesn't apply or something like that. But since a lot of the Rishonim really are obsessed with talking about it as if it's mechila, not some formality based on mechila, this Gemara seems to create a real problem for them. But we'll see whether that's fully true. Okay. Fine, that's another way of saying that it's a low plug, yeah. Right? That we assume, it's presumed that you, even when we know it's not true, we presume, yes, it's like, it's not even Yeshua Lomidat, it's words, right? It's Zuto Shel Yam, right? It's, right, Afilo Omid Vitzoveach, right? The guy is screaming, I'm not Messiah, we say it doesn't matter, because every normal person realizes that if your item's being dragged away by the river, that you're never getting it back.
And two balabatim, I mean, they're one knows.
So we're going to come back to the question of what happens to the balabayit, right? Right? How exactly define balabayit, buyer, seller? But so far we know that if a balabayit sells, whatever that means, Ona doesn't apply, seemingly even when the lokeach doesn't want to give it up. Then the Gemara brings the second case, Asahu Gavrav Amar, Yehivne le chamshin ve chamsha, havi mechila, edin le shisin vet ve ledina. And again, the same types of thing with 55 and 60 now. Also, in the Rav Chist, Amar Leilo Shana V'lo Keach Min HaTagar, V'lo Keach Min HaBalabayit, Ein Lo Alav Ona. Again, if you buy from a Balabayit, there's no Ona. So Amar Leilo Rav Dimi Yashar, whatever. V'chein Amar Leilo Shana Yashar, you're right. V'ha Anan Tznan Kishem Shana Lehed Yod Kach Ona LeTagar. But wait a second. The Mishnah said that just like there is Ona for a Hed Yod, There is for a tagar and manhedyot lav balabait, who is a non-merchant, if not a non-merchant, right? A private homeowner. Shem Rav Chisda, no. Bit sadraita. That's talking about a case of, as Rashi understands it, clothing made from cannabis. Some sort of sack clothing, I'm not really sure, or something like that, right? Where people, even private individuals, tended to act as merchants and make these clothes to sell. When the rule of the balabait not having ona refers to his private items that are yakire ale, that are worth a lot of money to him, those he won't sell unless it is for extra money. It's overpriced. Okay, so we have three categories. Right, we have tagar, right? We have a merchant where all the laws of ona apply. We have a balabait selling his private property, where the Gemara says the laws of Onah do not apply because of this last line, because since they're valuable to him, he won't sell them unless he overcharges. And then you have a private individual selling acting as a merchant, right? Like this case of the tzadraita, where he's not a tagar, but the laws of Onah still apply to him. So what we have to figure out is, right, how exactly to define these three categories, and what goes in this sui generis category of balabayit, the things which are yikirei alei. What is it about that line that, since it is valuable to him, that removes the laws of onah? And as we'll see, right, just to outline what we're going to see, there are different directions that the posuk we're going to take. Some people are going to focus on the vantage point of the mocher, right, of the balabayit, right, which is, since it's more valuable to you, right, when the Gemara says, Kevin yekire alei and lo mazmen lo lavendeme yisere, since it's more valuable to you, that translates halachically, for some reason, into this object being considered of higher value, and therefore you don't violate onah. Other people are going to assume another step, which is, since private individuals selling their private property don't usually like selling their private property, anybody who buys from them is presumed to be willing to pay, right? They add a step in. That it's not, the focus isn't the mocher. It isn't that this object somehow magically is worth more, right? Because it's worth more to me, so now it's halachically worth more. It's because, since you know I won't be willing to sell it unless I charge more, you are willing to pay more, and that's considered mechila. And the focus is really the lokeach. It's the assumptions that the lokeach is going to make. But, as we saw in the first case, within that possibility, we still have to wonder whether this is an objective, this becomes a formal rule, regardless of whether this individual buyer has actually been mochel or not. And then we'd have to contend with the first half of the Gemara. We're also going to have to deal with, does this only apply with a balabayit who's selling, or even if he's buying, and is it only where he is overcharging? What if he's undercharging, right? What are the implications? What exactly is the nature of this rule? Okay. So in order to understand this, what we really need to get at some level, and again, we're going to keep coming back to this in different forms, is the question of how do we determine value? Right? Because that's really the question. Onah is if you overcharge or underpay a sixth, so then it is onah. But that assumes a value. And we already noted that there's a problem in defining value. But what the Gemara here introduces for the first time, and we'll do it again on Yod Ches, as we'll see in a moment, is what happens if there's a reason to believe that something is worth more subjectively than it's worth objectively. How do you factor that into the equation? Right? Is that a legitimate way of talking about things? Does it matter? So this Gemara seems to apply that yes. Right? Since a balabait wants to charge more, and that's considered legitimate, the subjective value, and again, we'll have to see if either the mocher or the lokeach, is relevant such that it negates the laws of onah. And that's connected to two Gemara, one in Yud Ches. The Gemara there says that Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af ha-mocher sefer Torah, margalit uveheima, ein la onah. Rabbi Yehuda's position is that if you sell a sefer Torah, or a jewel, a pearl, or even an animal, there's no onah. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af ha-mocher sefer Torah, ein la onah. Why? Lefi she'ein keitz l'damea, because it's invaluable. So a Sefer Torah, yes, there's a going rate, but at the end of the day, a Sefer Torah is invaluable. And therefore, even though there's a going rate, it doesn't matter, because its value can be more. Behema margalit en lamonav b'nei she'adam rotzeh lizavgan. And jewels or animals, why are they? Why don't they have enough? Because people really want them. They want the animals to breed them. They want to use the jewels and jewelry. These are things that people want and therefore are willing to overpay for. So the Chachamim answered, Amru Levalok, Hakol Adam Rotzeh Levgan. What do you think is going on whenever you're buying anything? Right? People want them. They're going to do whatever they're going to do with them. Yehuda says, no, hani chashivile, hani lo chashivile. There are things that you want and are valuable to you, and things which you want because you want, they're practical, well, they don't have some meta value. So jewelry, to take the easy example, right, everybody knows that jewelry, if you buy it in a fancier store, right, just because of the name and the designer, it goes up in value because you're willing to pay more because, right, you want this jewel from this jeweler because you want the honor that comes with it. And therefore, it's considered more valuable. It's a ripoff. Everybody knows that if you buy the exact same ring at, you know, Tiffany's, it's 5 times the price if you buy it at a different store. Okay, but people do it anyways, right? There's this notion of...
That's not quite the flow. The conclusion
yes,
will end up bringing you there, but that's
right. I'm skipping over some of the nuances here, but yes, meaning.
And the Gemara's point is that there's a functional need,
right?
Which is this only goes well with that. But for other items, I don't care. If I don't get the right item to match up, it's not a big deal. For these items,
correct.
Not
meaning
only
it's
a functional need for
yes,
this.
Yes, I mean, it's a combination of chashiva that you treat it as important and therefore you want it to be perfect.
Right.
Right. That's really the point. Is you want it to be perfect this way because it's important to you.
Right.
Not just I want it practically and therefore... So the Gemara here introduces this notion of subjective value. The problem is that it rejects it. Right? We paskin like the Chachamim. So, one of the questions you have to deal with, okay, our Gemara introduced this notion of subjective value, but then this Gemara also seems to be dealing, again, without all the nuances, of some sort of subjective value, but the Gemara rejects it. Now, there is an easy distinction you could make between the cases, right?
Well,
which
this
is...
one's lokeach.
Yeah, right? Meaning, this is lokeach focused, right? The easiest one is that one is lokeach focused as one is mocher focused. Though, ironically, I would have thought it goes the other way, right? That if the lokeach is willing, if every buyer is willing to pay more, that should be a more legitimate, not less legitimate reason, right, to assume that the laws of Onah don't apply. Yeah.
And couldn't you say the Mishnah and Chet is trying to take the subjective value that occurs in some cases and redefine the whole item for all cases, including cases where there is no subjective value, isn't it? Trying to say that a behema just doesn't have a din of Onah, period. Even in cases where
no, but we don't paskin that way. That's the point.
I understand, but just because you wouldn't take subjective value.
Oh, correct. Right. Meaning we can subjective. When we come back to Nunches, we're going to have to continue distinguishing. But right at first glance, this Gemara seems to reject the notion of subjective value. No, yes, there's a difference. Lokeach and mocher. There's also a distinction between are we dealing with local cases by definition because we're dealing with balabayit. We're talking about how much this is worth to you, or are we trying to right, make an induction and say, since most people don't, right, generalization, since most people don't pay more or willing to pay more, so everyone is willing to pay more, right, maybe that's not accepted. You're right, meaning there are many ways to distinguish between these. But the point is to know that the most important thing is simply to notice that we're not, here we don't simply accept the subjective value thing, and Nun Aleph we do, which tells you that there must be some limitation to this rule. Is it right? It may just be that it's a difference between generalizing and specifying a one case. True, but that tells you that there is at least a limit to this notion of introducing subjective value into the laws of Onaa. The third Gemara we have this, which is not about Onaa, but the Ritva will make it about Onaa, is number 3. But the Gemara says, Amar of Yosef, Mina la Ditanya. So here the case is where someone gives something to a Kohen, which is not actually worth the right Chamesh Shekel, but it works for Pidyon HaBen anyways. And the same thing will be true in the context of Kiddushin. That's the longer discussion than Gemara. So I'm Rav Yosef, Mina, Mina, La, Titania, Egel, Zel, Opinion, Bini. If I have this animal and I want to use it for redeeming my child, Talos, Zel, Opinion, Bini, Lo, Mar, Klum. But Emel, Zel, Pichamesh, Slime, Lepan, Pidyon, Bini. But if I take something not worth enough money, but I say, it is if it's worth that. Talos, Zel, Pichamesh, Slime, Lepinion, Bini, Bino, Padui. So Gemara says, hi, Pidyon echidami. What's the case? Ilim lo shavi kol kamine. If it's not worth that, it's not worth that. So how can you redeem your son? El alav afagav deshavi. It came into lo kaiti lo. Isn't it that it's not? It is worth it, but it's hard to specify. It doesn't have a set value, and therefore it doesn't work. The word says no. Lo olam de lo shavi. You're right. This is a case where the animal is not worth enough money to redeem your son. But kagon de kabiel kohen ilave. It's where the kohen accepts it as if it was worth 5 shekel. Ki hader of kahana shekel sudra mibay pidyon aben and amar le lididi chazi li chamesh slayim. The kohen accepted it and said it is worth chamesh slayim to me, and therefore it is sufficient. So you have this notion in the Gemara that even something that's not worth five selah can become as if it's worth 5 sela because the lokeach wants it to be worth like it's 5 sela, and that's enough to even transform it into, right? You would think it wouldn't work by pidyon aben. Pidyon aben, you need a formal 5 sela. The answer is no, you don't, right? You can even transform through subjective value non-chamesh sela into chamesh sela, right? That's the magic of ledidi chazali. Okay. But here, we're having a case of lokeach. Right, so if we divide it, we have the Nun Aleph, which says you can, subjective value is relevant from the vantage point of the seller. You have Nun Ches and Kedushin Ches, where subjective value is worthwhile from the vantage point of the buyer. Adam is right that on Daf Nun Ches, in Bava Metzia, we're talking about more than an individual. We're talking about trying to generalize from the fact that some people treat animals and jewels as more valuable. Everyone will want to do that. So we could say that Gemara is not fully relevant to our Gemara. But the Gemara in Daf Ches and Kiddushin is talking about where it's a specific individual. But here it's not the mocher, it's the lokeach. So you have the Gemara in Bava Metzia, which says that the mocher can make something worth more money for the laws of Onah. And you have the Gemara in Kiddushin that says the lokeach can make it as if something is worth more money for the purpose of Pidyon HaBen. And the Ritva connects the two. He says, La'olam de lo shavi. It's where it's not worth that much. So he says, this is only a great person. That was the next line in the Gemara, right, where the Gemara had the same thing by a hat. It's only the type of person who really needs a hat. And therefore, it's worth more money to him. So he says, Perish, Ukimlon Vadai, Deshave Chamesh Ledide. We know that it really is worth 5 for him. Aval Kule Alma, Delo Shafile. But everybody else who it's not worth, right, this hat is not worth 5 shalom, lo. The Afagav de Kible Ale. It says, even if you accept it, Lav Kol Kamine. So it's not enough to say, I'm willing to make it as if. It has to be that it's actually worth more to you. Right, now that's a very subtle distinction, right? What's the difference between saying, I'm willing to accept the hat as if it's worth 5 shekel, and saying, it's worth 5 shekel to me? What's the difference? He says, Shamin and Mehacha, what does that teach us? Shahamocher chefet lachaveru bishis uvishuk lo shavu elachamisha. If you sell something which is for 6, which is worth 5, ila hailokeach shavishisain ba'ona. If for this buyer it's worth 6, so there's no na, the basar di deazlin and keicha de chashvin lehacha, the shavi chamesh lam. So just like in this case, the lokeach can transform something into 5 sela magically, so he can make something which is worth 5, worth 6. Miudafka bid shavi lizavune ki shisa ki orche. But it's only if he would normally buy it that way. Aval il didei lo shavi el bneishu dachuk bedavar. But if it's not really worth it to him, but he's under pressure, he needs the money, or something like that. It doesn't work. And therefore you can collect the onah. Whenever you make a condition by renting more than the current value, and you do it only because you need the money, he can say, I'm joking, and I didn't really mean it. So for example, and you love this topic, if someone said, right, is dying and needs medicine, says, I'll pay you all the money in the world, afterwards he can say, I was just joking, and he'll pay him the market value. But if it's the doctor, you can't do that, because the doctor is selling you his talent. Now, I think you discussed this, right? Whether modern medicine is more like the doctor, right? Correct. Because the pharmaceutical companies are employing research scientists. I think you did, right? In that chair. Yeah.
A little bit briefly.
Okay, so the practical applications, you can listen to Dr. Chiner's share. But this is the rich folks' claim. Now, the Katsos challenges it. He says, I don't understand what the Ritva wants from me. Says he may mashakosa the hech the shovel I look shisa as leading buster day, kasha may hate kaima lunda filuba margolis or shard varmja the rosa lazavgan yeshlona. He said the Gemara Nunches says we reject subjective value. That's a case where the lokeach, it sounds like, wants to pay more. And that which the Ritva said, that if you only accept less money or more to pay more money because of pressure, based on what he quoted, I don't understand either of your sides. I don't understand how you can say subjective value is relevant, and I don't know how you can say that under certain circumstances you can lie because you made a kinyan, and a kinyan normally overrides your ability to say mishat anivach. So I don't get the first half of your statement, I don't get the second half of your statement. The Dos just says, I don't get what you're talking about. The Gemara Nunches tells you that we reject subjective value from the laws of Ona. The second half is important, you know, for other reasons, but for the Ona purposes, he said, I don't get the claim. So what exactly is the Ritva doing here? So there's this article, this part of the article I like, by Rav Yechiel Youngster. Right? He's in Petach Tikva. This is in the journal of Petach Tikva. So he said, okay. So the Ksos says that we don't accept a subjective value, at least from the vantage point of the Lokeach. The Ksos will have an easy way to deal with the three Gemaras. He'll say like this. If, from the vantage point of the Lokeach can't magically make something be worth more. What is the only thing that can make something be worth more? Balabayit. Where no seller would sell it for less. Right? Because then we can recognize that from the vantage point of the seller, it's actually worth more. But the lokeach can't magically, in the case of onah, say this is worth more. Just because you're willing to pay more, that's onah, right? I'm using you, right? I'm getting you to pay me more than it's worth. In the case of balabayit, I legitimately don't want to sell it to you, right? It legitimately is worth more to me. You want me to sell it anyways. So fine, so I'm going to raise the price. That's recognized. But from the vantage point of the seller, we can't say that since the seller wants it, so the mocher is allowed to, right, charge him more and prey on the vanities of subjective value.
So what about the case with Pidyon HaBen then?
So he'll say Pidyon HaBen is different. Why is Pidyon HaBen different? Interesting.
It's zero sarcastic, isn't it?
What? Whatever you can say about it, it's more Isurin than it's in the Imamanos, right? It's a formal halacha, not about right equity, right? Whatever we want to say by Pidyon HaBen is different.
Didn't he just run into all the Rishonim and Baal Bayit that assume that we're talking about Mechila?
Okay, we haven't gotten that far. But this is, we'll just assume, right? I'm just saying, the Ktos will just have to say something like that. Right? Like I said, in Baal Bayit we're going to have to see, is it about the Mocher or about the Lokeach? The neatest way is to say that what you see from the Gemara in Bava Metzia is we don't accept subjective value from the value of the Lokeach. The Gemara in Kiddushin is therefore not relevant. Baal Bayit is not about Lokeach, it's about Mocher. And the issue in Onah is, from the vantage point of the seller, is he or is he... Now, we could sort of have a meta question, right? Is Onah more about the sort of ethical values of the Mocher? Right? He shouldn't be overcharging, right? And using you, and therefore, if he's not using you, he legitimately wants you... He legitimately doesn't want to give up the object for less money. And everyone recognizes that. So he's not doing anything wrong. He's not trying to steal money from you. He doesn't want to give up the object. You want him to give up the object, so fine, he's allowed to charge more, right? Or is it about the buyer, right, simply paying more? You could, if you take the first perspectives, then the Ketos will simply say, look, any time you're preying on the subjective value from the vantage point of the Lokeach, it's Aser. That's how we paskin. If it's the Mocher, then it's legitimate for him to want more, so then he's not overcharging you. You want him to give it to you. He doesn't want to give it to you. Fine. Right? But from his vantage point, it really is worth more.
Your litmus test is, if he didn't have a desperate buyer in front of him, what would happen?
Right. And the simple read of the Gemara is... He still would want more money for it because he doesn't want to part with it.
Therefore, he wouldn't sell it.
Exactly. Right. That's
therefore, it's not Onah.
Right. I think that's a good way of putting the Ktos. But what about the Ritva? Right? So what is the Ritva going to do? The Ritva clearly does accept subjective value, but only to a point, because he says it's only where I want to pay more, but not mitoch hadchak. Why? Right? What does that mean, that I accept subjective value unless it's worth more to you because you're under pressure? Either you say, when the lokeach is willing to pay more, that's not ona, or you say, when he's willing to pay more, right, it's still ona. How can you have it both ways and say it's you sometimes ona and sometimes not ona? So what this Rav Yechiel youngster argues is, I think, helpful. And he says, he thinks what the Ritva is doing is as follows. There's three cases. There is, when you think about the market, there's what he calls the primary market, right? So let's say in the primary market, meaning you go into a supermarket and you buy a can of Coke, it's whatever it is. It's 25 cents if you buy a six-pack or 50 cents or whatever it is, right? Then we all recognize that it's not that there's the general market and then there are antiques, that there's only one of them and there is no market for them at all. We recognize that there are unique objects. There are wholesale objects that are sold everywhere for retail. And then there's what he called a shuk mishni, a secondary market. So what's a secondary market? He said, okay, let's say you're at a ball game, right? Everyone understands the same can of Coke is now worth $5, right? And it's not just your ball game, it's every ball game. Why? Because whatever, right? Or a better, his example, which I think is a little bit better, because there we really could talk about or not, by a ball game, is the beach. He said, everyone understands. By the ball game, they rig it, because they say you're not allowed to bring in drinks, because they want to overcharge you. By the beach, you could bring food. But people often want to go to the beach just with their bathing suit and their towel, and they don't want to schlep a knapsack. So they bring $5 in their pocket, right, no wallet, right, expecting to buy an ice cream and a bottle of water, and knowing they're going to be overcharged, but it's worth their time to not have to schlep the food with them. And on the flip side, the person who has the canteen at the beach, the reason he bought prime real estate, right, to set up this little thing for 2 months a year, is because he knows that people are schlepping. So everyone recognizes that he's. Right, he's doing this to cater to what he calls the shuk mishni. Right, so he said, okay. He says he thinks what the Ritva is doing is as follows. He says the Ritva says, if somebody is part of a group, right? Think of his case with the hat. All chashuv people need a hat, so if they see a nice hat, they're going to pay more for it. Right, they're going to pay for the borsalino because they're going to pay for the borsalino. Fine. Right. So he said, they're going to pay for the borsalino. They're the shuk mishni, right? They're chashuv. They want this. And everyone recognizes, even though it's not really worth it, they know there's a good group of people who need the hat and are going to pay for it. So it's within the realm of the market recognizing it. It's not the shuk, right? It's not the basic shuk. If you sold it to, right, somebody who wanted a Purim costume, right, and you told him, look, I know you want your Purim costume, but the only hat I have to sell you is the borsalino, and you want it, so I'm going to charge you double, right, because I'm going to sell you, right, this is a designer hat, right, so that guy you're overcharging, because the, 15-year-old who wants to dress up like his grandfather does not need, the expensive hat. He's not going to pay designer prices. So that's ona. But if the Rav of the Shul comes and he says, look, I need the nicest hat, so, and I know that you're overcharging me, but whatever, I know that the people who import the borsalinos, they charge more for it, so that's fine, right? Because there's a group of lokhim that reflect it. But let's say I don't really want the hat, right? I have to get an aliyah at Breuer's, and they won't give an aliyah to anybody who doesn't have a hat. Right? I go there for a simcha, and I need to have, right, an aliyah. It's my cousin. Right, but I don't have a hat. So someone says, I'll sell you a hat. I say, fine, I need a hat. It's going to cause a family stir if I'm not getting an aliyah. And he says, okay, the only thing I'm going to sell you that was a borsalino, I'm going to sell you at the double the price. That's ona, because the guy couldn't care less about the borsalino. He doesn't need a chashuv hat. He's stuck, right? He needs a hat to get the aliyah at Breuer's. Fine, that's called, right, overcharging. He said, what the Ritva is doing is saying, look, there is this notion of subjective value, but there's three levels. There are unique items, that's called balabayit, where there is no comparative price. And therefore, you're allowed to charge whatever you want. Then there are things which are totally retail and nobody cares about, where you just can't overcharge. And then there are middle things where we recognize that to some people, they are legitimately going to pay more. But it's not random subjectivity. You're part of a secondary group. But if you're not part of that group, right, so it would be the example of the beach case, right? You're not the person on the beach, right? He is selling more to people on the beach. But then on his way home, right, he sees someone who is, right, dehydrating in the middle of the street and needs a bottle of water, and he refuses to sell him the bottle of water unless he pays beach prices. That guy, right, is not part of the beach crowd. That guy is someone who's paying mitil chatchak. There you're just using him. And that's considered onah. So that's the way we understand it. So what would come out, therefore, is that according to Ktsos, we only recognize subjective value where it's from the vantage point of the mocher, where it's not that he wants to, you know, get more money out of the buyer. He legitimately doesn't want to sell the item. It's worth more to him. And therefore, it's actually worth more to him, and that's why there's no onah, because it's worth more. The Ritva says, no, it's true by the Lokeach also. But there's that halacha goes both ways. But it works like this. Unique items, which have no value, or they're in English, right? They're invaluable, right? Which means could be more, could be less, right? It's just that you can't put a value on it. That's balabayit. There is no onaa to it. Then there are things which are totally, right, wholesale. Those things, fine. Those are pure onaa. And then there are cases in between where it's recognized that there's a group of people, the lididi shavali group, right? Because you can't just say lididi shavali in a vacuum, because then you're just using someone. But if there's a group of people, because in that case, the mocher doesn't care about the borsellino, right? It's not his personal thing, but he knows there's a lot of people willing to pay more, so he's targeting the Shuk Mishni. He's, right, he has a luxury suit store, he has a luxury hat store, fine, he's targeting a certain group, that's legitimate. But if he targets the poor person who needs an Aliyat Breuers, then he's using him, and that's going to be usser. Well, Alicia? Yeah.
No, come back.
Okay, fine.
You keep saying the secondary group, the secondary market has to be part of a group, but it can be an individual too, can't it?
So no, right? His assumption seems to be no.
What if it's not a case of shas at chak? It just to me, because...
So maybe, but then maybe, well...
It can be one person, but it has to be defined by the circumstances.
Right, meaning it has to be... if it's the equivalent of balabayit, right, where the object is for some reason unique...
Yeah, it's not because you're...
Right, but that's the case one. No, that's his point. Right, what Balabaya teaches is a third category. There are certain items where it's not about the people; it's about the item. Right, this item is worth more to me.
Yeah, not because it's
correct. Now that you can have, but you couldn't say that random can of Coke, right, is worth more to me for no apparent reason. That wouldn't work according to Ritva, right? Kani or
Ev. Give an example. So if I'm a baseball card collector,
correct. But that would be Balabaya.
No, and I'm the Lokeach, right? And, you know, it's not like I'm dying of thirst or I need the medicine, but just card A, which is very popular, I just don't happen to have it. I don't sell it anymore. But, you know, anyone else who has it couldn't get more on the market because it's just, you know, it's not like a rare card. I just happen to.
So there, I think the Ritva would say you can, but
yeah.
I think you're still sort of a Shuk Mishni, right? Maybe other people don't need this card, but there's a class of collectors who pay higher values. Right? I mean, the point is that it's not tchak. It's that it's the Shuk Mishni. It could be one person. It could be three people. The point is that it's something that other people would understand.
Yeah.
Right? It's not that I'm being pressured. Other people understand that this is a legitimate thing to do. Okay.
I guess actually my question I can ask is, and this is kind of addressed by a bunch of Rishonim and Arsugi, I think, is what if the subjective value was lower than the market price?
Correct. So we're gonna come back to that, right?
Okay, fine.
But again, all of this, what if this is this only above? What if it's below, right? We're going to have to ask all those questions. Okay, I think we're going to have to, we'll move a little bit here. Okay, fine. So, but that sets the, I mean, again, all these factors, right, the question of subjective value determined by circumstances, all that's going to affect what are exactly the parameters of this, right? Is Balabayit teaching you what the Ktos seems to be teaching you is only when, right, it's legitimately worth more, right? Or is it introducing the notion of subjective value, and then what is going to be the limit of that? That seems to be many of the machlokas. So let's now just go through the Rishonim quickly, okay? So the Rashba, 7. Loshan lokeach min atagar, aval lokeach min balabaisin lo'olah. V'lav dafko na elafilu bitul mekach. So the first question is, okay, what's the extent of all this? When we say ein lo en lo na, do we mean it so much that there's no limits to what you can do? Right? Or is it simply saying at 1/6, you, there's no onah. But more than a sixth, right? All Baal HaBayit is doing is fudging it a little bit. When we say subjectivity is important, it only means to push the boundary a little bit, that 1/6 will not be chozer. But if it's more than a sixth, right, you're overcharging a fifth, then it would be chozer, because our, how much we respect subjectivity is this much, right? Just at a sixth. So the Rashba says, no. Once we've introduced subjectivity to the equation, that means I feel betel mekach. Even if he's overcharging you a quarter or a half or 100%, it doesn't matter. The point is, we've introduced subjective value into the equation and allow that to override onah. Di lav d'aved le d'mei yaseiri lo mazmin money, because the Gemara says if you don't pay a lot, he's not going to give it to you. V'dafka, but he says, okay, but who does it apply to? Only kishinazana lokech, nasal bala bayit yesh lo onah. But if the whole point here is that the seller doesn't want to sell it unless he gives up more money, so it's obviously only if he overcharges. But if he gets underpaid, kal vachomer, right? Onah applies. He didn't want to give up his private item and he got cheated out of money. Onah will apply, because the only thing that's important here is that he values it more, not less. Right, so it's very, very narrow. Vim tomer im kain, Michael kasha luvat nan shem shona lehedyot man hedyot la balabais a balabais nami islo nakshanehu. So then he says parenthetically, why did the Gemara say that it was a problem? Who is this hedyot? Because even a Baal HaBayit has onah in buying. So he says, Yesh lomer, the tagar yesh lo onah called sad. And he says, ain't okay, lo have tali tagar bi Baal HaBayit. He says, linguistically, tagar, a merchant, has onah in both directions. So you're not going to equate hedyot, if hedyot meant Baal HaBayit, if he only has one onah. Fine. The next line. Okay, the last point we really have to introduce is what he says in the last line. Is why then did the Gemara say that even a Baal HaBayit has an exception to the rule, namely tzadraita, right? These clothes that he sells from his house. Because the point is not that he's a private individual, it's that it's the type of item that private individuals sell for a lot. But if the private individuals tended to make clothes and sell them, so even though they're not merchants, it's not the type of thing that we recognize has subjective value. It doesn't, right? Okimna b'tzir duye, that's how he has it. Any merchandise, the whole point is that which is your private item and is valuable to you, not the fact that you are a Baal HaBayit. The Ritva and Eid, Olokech, Baal HaBayit, Ein Lo Onah, V'ukimna B'mocher Kli Tashmisho, D'yedia Milsa, She'eno Mocher El B'yoker Gadol. U'kamocher Amanash, Ein Lo Onah, Ein Lo Onah, Olav Onah Adami. So now the Ritva, the Rashba seems to focus on the Mocher. But the Ritva now introduces possibility too. Right? So far we've said that what's going on in the case of Baal HaBayit is that it's actually worth more money to the Baal HaBayit. But another way of saying it is a no. The reason that the Baal HaBayit is allowed to overcharge is because everybody knows that the Baal HaBayit doesn't want to sell, but that's not sufficient. The focus of onah is not the seller, it's the person being overcharged. In order for it to be mutter, he has to be okay with it. The point is that there's a presumed almanash in l'chalai onah. When I'm buying the type of thing that people don't like selling, I must have accepted a higher price. And that's why, it's not because the subjective value. Right? So far we've talked about the possibility it's all about subjective value. But now, the Ritva says, no, it's not about subjective value. It's that the subjective value is what forces buyers to accept a price they wouldn't normally accept. But if they wouldn't, it doesn't matter that the mocher wants to overcharge. Because it's not that we recognize the subjective value by itself. We recognize subjective value when it also brings about an implicit agreement on behalf of the buyer. The cave and chicane ains el Baal HaBayit meune. And he says, that's why it's only when the Baal HaBayit is overcharging. Aval imnis une, if he's underpaid, have a kol chicane, this leona. He never gave up on it, he never made an almanas. The Rimi Gash in 9, quoting the Shittim Bavetze, says as follows, Chen Kosova Rav Yosef Halevi Mengad B'tshuva She'elot Z'vizel Shono Mulak Miloshon Aravi. So this is translated from an Arabic tshuva. Masha Amro Lokech Mi Baal HaBayit Ein Lo'ona Hu Bechol Kli Tashmisho Lefisha Baal HaBayit Ein Amochram Elo Lehechreach. It's private property because you don't want to sell it unless you need to. O Lahachlif Osam B'meshe Tovlen. But then he introduces something surprising. Because I might have thought that if the point is, I won't sell this because it's valuable to me, right, it has sentimental value, then it only applies with the type of thing I don't want to sell because of sentimental value. But if I decide, look, I want to sell my washing machine because I want to buy a new washing machine, I have no emotional attachment on my washing machine, so then you would say the laws of Hana apply. But the Rimigash, for some reason, say that's not true, right? Even if a private seller is selling his object not because at a higher price, not because it has sentimental value, simply because he wants to get as much money out of it so that he can buy something else, that's still fine. And that's very difficult to understand why that should be true, to the point where many of the modern commentaries aren't convinced that this is right, because it seems very odd. He says, "Im nisana balabayis nemesh nisratza baze kidei litchos hezeko kidei lahachlo osam masha tov lahem." And he says, and it's not only true if the balabayit overcharges, it's even if he undercharges, because sometimes he wants, right? So this is, right, he says, sometimes, look, basically, I will even undersell this as long as I can have the money to buy something else. Now, this makes sense to me. The first half didn't make sense to me, right? If someone wants to say that when a balabayit undersells because he wants to buy something else, and that's not enough because he doesn't care how much it is, he's having a garage sale, right? He wants to get rid of his everything at whatever price he can get for it so he can buy something else that he really wants. So I understand why there's no ona'a, right? But if he overcharges it because he wants, right, he has a garage sale where he charges double the normal price, I don't understand how that works.
The fundamental point you're making is that when you're dealing with a balabayis, he has external concerns that have nothing to do with the inherent value of the item.
Yeah. Right, but right. So I mean, that's what you're going to have to say. Meaning, based on what we said until now, the Rimigash is going to make sense, right? The resha. But you're right. Meaning, the way to defend the Rimigash is to say no, right? It's not about the intrinsic value of the mocher. It's not about what the lokeach assumes. It's that private individuals have their own calculations that simply shatter the rules of the monetary world, the normal market, and therefore we just have to relate to it differently.
There's an easier way out, which is you can just assume that any buyer is buying from, like, you know that every balabayit needs a washing machine. So any case in which a balabayit is selling a washing machine, obviously he's only doing it so he can buy a new one. And you can just change the assumption. Perhaps in a case where a balabayit
is
in, that's why I thought it was more of a limit. Like, it's dafka kuitash misho. It's like things that he has to use as opposed to just random objects around his house. Right?
Maybe. Interesting. Maybe. Maybe. Vim nisan alokeach nemar gamkin. Yeah.
We're drawing a parallel from a garage sale, although that's fair, but it might be better demonstrated from, Moshe, let's say, and I know there's no back or trust, but let's say someone has a house, and whatever, they've got 12 kids, they need a bigger house, like they're bursting, okay? So they identify a house, so they say, I'm only going to sell it if I need enough, so that I can buy the next house that I've identified.
Ah.
So that's the chesed.
Interesting, maybe. Maybe you're right.
I
wasn't thinking about it, but you're right. Maybe that's true. Right, maybe you're right. Right, because people won't. Yeah, I guess. I think that's better. I think that's a better way of saying it. Right, that private individuals have their own calculations where they need the money, and it's either because of emotional things or simply they. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right.
From someone who's in the business of transacting, and how much profit can you make? I'm not just to make profit. I have another.
You're right. Okay, I hear you. I think that's a better way of saying it. That maybe what the Rebbe Gash is saying is, private individuals have their own calculations where they need money. It's not about. Right, it's not about.
And maybe
it's not about cheating the other person. It's I'm not going to sell it till I have enough money to buy the next item that I really need. And combining what you and Alicia are saying, I think I like that better than simply saying it shatters the monetary.
No, because keep in mind he also mentions kedei litchos hezeko. In other words, the point isn't per se. I have my own budget that I need to meet and whatever. The point is that my concerns don't
match. They don't map on.
They don't know the value of the item.
Some combination of all these things. I think they all come together. I think that's a better way of articulating, though, with the...
What you said about how undercharging, that makes more sense to you. There, it's the same argument. It doesn't
Correct.
Revolve around the problem. It revolves around time.
Right. As I need the money now.
So
right.
Whatever it is, it's the
right.
time that's there.
And even if he's undercharged, and even if when the buyer is overcharged, he knows that this is what happens. Okay, the Meiri in 10, Dino knows, and he notes that while he agrees that there's no ona whether the balabayit is selling or buying, whether he's being overcharging, being underpaid, he notes that there's some people who don't like that. They say no, it's only when he's overcharging, underpaying, that it will. He just summarizes that machlokes in one line. The Tosas Rush takes the position, though, the opposite of the Rajba. The Rajba had said that all of this is more, or even more than a sixth. So the whole point is that what we've introduced are subjective factors to the monetary market that change the normal rules. Tosfos Rashi quotes from the Ri, however, that it's not true. He thinks that all of these rules, right, we have to reject everything we've just said and say, no, the only thing the Bala Dai does is it shifts that one line marker, that at 1/6 there is no bittul, there's no chiv to be machzer or na. But if it's more than a sixth, it's the realm of bittul mekach, subjective value won't get you out of ona the second it's over a sixth. That's what he writes, which again, I find very surprising, yet we'll see, Shulchan Aruch will quote it, but I find it very surprising. He says, Mistavra de davkat shtus, amr hachi, dumya dahanach trey uvde, avol yesu mishtus lo. His proof is that the case in the Gemara was clearly a sixth, because he was trying to manipulate it so that he'd machzer or not. The ahog av devshivus de rachai, gon midami lahid lakaman chayfet zashani mochalach masayim yodiani sheno shava el amane. And even though the Shiltos compares it to the Almanas cases later, lo dimos o elashani dahatam, Lama ain labalabayas or no. That's only teaching you why there's no no. Balash mi ainu, mishum devik mefars. That it's like specifying. Milo dami legamre. They're not exactly equivalent. The Hasan pairs behead you. Balach al dailanu. Shinemar devik kimifars. Shachos velobadavar muflok. And the Rosh says, because I don't accept this whole argument that it's about subjectivity. It's about what are the implied agreements. And when we're dealing not about subjective value, we're dealing about what will subjective value let us assume about the mindset of the buyer, you have to be very minimalist in what terms of what you assume. How do you know he's willing to pay 200%? Maybe he's only willing to pay 116% and 2/3, right? That's it.
If he writes the check, he writes the check.
I know, I find it strange. But his point is, but he says, why am I only willing to assume this? Because he said, look, you're right. If I actually said I'm selling this to you on condition that there's no, even though I'm charging 150%, that would be fine. But this is a case where you didn't say anything and where you're assuming he knows that you're a balabite and therefore you're overcharging him. When it's an assumed knowledge, there's only so much we can assume. Presumably what the Rosh would say is if you want to charge him 150%, fine. Say that and then it'll be fine. Right? Or at least won't be chozer. Whether it'll be mutter or not is the question of what Shein Lecha Laona means. And he says, V'chein asa ri maisa. That's what the ri did. The Yerali came into time of Mishum Devik Mefar, Shach Shiei Da'akon, Shach Mocher, Balabayit. If it's not about subjective value, it's about what is assumed to be going on in this deal. So it's not just enough for him to be a Balabayit. You need to know he's a Balabayit. Because he'll go Mochel Laona, because then he will forgive the Ona. He didn't know you were a balabayit, or even if the balabayit sent it with an agent, and therefore he's not seeing you, yesh lo na. Vani uvde to keep it varshtach, he apagav de lokech lo mochal on us, who came to me balabayit lokach. He says, wait a second, but if it's about implied mechila, then how did, if it's about subjective value, so I understand how it could be that the guy in the Gemara, who didn't know that he wasn't going to get his money back, it worked. Because the point is, no, objectively, this was worth more. There was no ona. But if you think about implied mechila, there was no implied mechila. He said he wanted his money back, and he was told you aren't allowed to get your money back. Which pushes in the direction that this is about subjective value. It's actually about changing how much is this worth. Not simply about, oh, it's a you agreed to it, because he didn't agree to it. So he says, no, it's not actual presumed mechila, it's a low plug of presumed mechila in the type of case where a normal person would have been mochel. Meaning, anytime you interact with a balabayit and know he's a balabayit, even if you aren't mochel, you're presumed to be mochel midin low plug. But if you didn't know he was a balabayit or through a sirsur, no one would have accepted the overcharging, and therefore the blow plug won't kick in, and therefore we have to take into account what you actively, subjectively thought. But in a case where you actually buy it from the balabite, even if you don't want to be mochel, doesn't matter. Lo plug rabbanan dim lo kein yesh chiluk ben lokech ha-maharetz ben tamal chacham el ha-chacham hishvu midusem dekol heicha shalokech yodeh shamocha balabayit ein lo ona'a. The Rush in 12 in the Shudah Rush, he says, Navkusa bin din zemishum Ruven hu balabayit. He's talking about a longer case from his son that he sent him. You said there's no difference whether that was ona'a because it's from a balabayit. Bin din zem came to Israel no yosem ishjos ain chiluk bin balabayit acher kikos v'tozu mashi ishchiluk bin balabayit lamacher. I know dafkat shjos kanech treuvdi So again, he reiterates the position. No, that's only up to a sixth. And that which you're you had a suffix. What if the balabayit, it isn't worth more to him? He just needs food. Right? And that's why he's selling. So the Ritva, remember, had said that doesn't count, because then it's not really worth more to him. The Rosh says it does count. Dak ein chiluk. Dinehi de machar machmas dachal veino mayochal yikirei alei vechashivi alav. Ulodidei shavim kol adamim. Im lo yinosin lo bahem el adamim hayim etzamtim avelei maos lo yimochan bepachos. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter why he wants to sell it. In the end of the day, he wants the money, and therefore it's worth whatever he gets for it. The gam, and why does he think this is true? Because again, he says it's like the shiltos. Gam perish b'shiltos Rav Achai. The masha ein labalabayis onayin. The mishmol kech yodeshim chaviven ala mocher ve'evin kiilu perish chavet zesh ani mocher lachom asayim yodeshim nishav, etc. Right? Since it's a condition, it's as if he knows. But he says in the end, he says, yeah, but that's true. A balabayit, when you buy from a balabayit, sometimes you know he's paying more and sometimes you know he's going to pay less because he has his own calculations, and therefore there's an implied assumption up to a sixth in both directions, right, that the laws of Onah will be waived because that was the implied agreement. Okay. The Ibn Azil in 13 says, V'chein mekonim v'balabayit in lo Onah, af shein yodeh bekama nis'aneh. He says, the Ibn Azil is dealing with the question, which the Rush implied, which was, if this is Almanas, how does it work? Because as we'll see next week with Almanas, normally when you say Almanas, you have to tell the person how much you're overcharging or undercharging, because you have to specify why here do you not have to. How can it be a condition if you didn't say it? Maybe. You didn't, what?
Maybe.
So he says, Elud mi hu mishum de lo b'shvil mechila ona asan Allah, mishum de balabayit, ena rota limkar, kli tash mishu al b'yoker, mikara ena mocher lifi shavyam, ve'ein kan ona, olkech nitzrazal ze, ve'ein ze megedra mechila al ona. He said, yeah, that's why this isn't about mechila. That's why all the other rishonim reject the Rush and say it's not mechila. It's about subjective value, right? It's about everyone understanding that there are different terms of kinyanim when you're dealing with the private sphere. And in 14, now this was there was a court case apparently in Israel, one of the Batei Din, about used cars, and the question was, when you sell your car, right, your private car, on the one hand, you don't necessarily have an emotional attachment to it. You're just buying it. You're selling it so you can buy the next one. On the other hand, it clearly is your private property. It's my car. I give it a name, and I put, you know, a bumper sticker on it, whatever. Right? One of the articles even says that, right? That people call their cars names. You see that it's the things which are kiri alei. So how do you define balabayit? So that's the context of this article. So he comments. He says, "Nimtzu lemeidim shatam la'alach shalkech mabayis in lo lavana hishakona hu miunyan chilo chayfetzeh." The point is, the buyer wants it. Me'acher shalom nimtzu leklosam v'akom acher. Since he can't find it elsewhere, lachen lo higmel as mechir le'rechisha. So muchanai l'sham me'ver le'mechir. So therefore, he's willing to pay more. Me'mela in lo lavana mishum dein kan me'ane hakona kivyachol ina azatzmo. Said it's. This is how he understands the Rush, right? What does the Rush mean? It's like mechila. Is that since you know he'll charge you more, and you did it, he didn't overcharge you, you overcharged yourself, because you were willing to enter into this agreement anyways. And he said that's why the Rush should be wrong, right? That it should go to more than a sixth, right? The Rush doesn't go that far, but that type of argument should go far more than a sixth. And if you take it to its extreme, it should therefore be that even more than a sixth, there is no bitul mekach. And he says that's in fact the position of Haigon and the like. So to summarize where we are so far, and then we'll see the tour in Shulchan Aruch, Nosekelim, etc. in the last 7 minutes we have, right, is you have basically, okay, in terms of conceptual models, you have those who think that the laws of balabayis teach you that we introduce subjective value. Some think that's only for the mocher, some think that's mocher and lokeh, right, sorry, that's only when the balabayit is overcharging, some say it's even when he's undercharging. Others say that it's not about introducing subjective value, it's about mechila, but lo plug of mechila, because we know from the Gemara that it doesn't always apply, right? That even when you didn't want to give up the money, as long as you knew it was a balabayit, there's a low plug. And then the Rishonim divide on, based on these things, when do we assume that there's subjective value or mechila? Is it only when you're overcharging or even when you're being underpaid? Is it going to be more than a sixth or at a sixth? Right? What exactly are the parameters of it? So then the Torah summarizes the positions that we have. He quotes the Rush, right? Even in a case we don't know it's a balabayit, you aren't really mochel, it's low plug, el kol balabayit in lo dino na, umiu perish, ri, dafka bishtos. But the ri said it's only a six, avo yosel shtos, dino kinish, dalma. The adonia ve rush, zal dafka shlokech yodesh, zalokech mal balabayit, as we saw on the rush, it's only if you know that it is a seller. Next page, the Rama says, loshna mochar balabayit ve'ina onisana olokach. The Rama introduces, and he said, it's not just where the balabayit overcharges or is underpaid. It's even where the balabayit approaches somebody and says, right, even when the balabayit is the buyer, right, a private individual comes and said, I love that object, right, lididi shavali, right, even if he seems to be talking to a tagar, right, there's no onah. Right? Because he paskens like the Ritva in Kiddushin, that in Onah there's a concept of Lididi Shaveli, that someone can say, it's worth more to me. And there's no Onah, but the Rush says no, it's only by Mecher, right? Vina Valmachar Venezana Okana Yesh Lobadin Onah, because as the Rush said, it's not about subjective value, it's about what is assumed to be going on. Right, and therefore, it's only assumed when it's a private individual doing the selling. If it's a merchant doing the selling and a private individual buying, if he doesn't specify it, we can't make any assumptions. So that's the second half of the rush, that it only goes up to a sixth. The Rambam seems to reject the limitation of six, right? Balabayit shemachar kli tashmisho, ein lo honash, ilu lo hir b'lo damim, lo yamocher, lo kli tashmisho. He doesn't mention a sixth. The Magen Mishnah notes, because mefarshim zal dafka shana lokech, ben shtus, ben yoser, mi kan, az ein lokech yochel v'honah, aval nis'ane mocher. He says he thinks the Rambam paskins that it's only where the balabayit overcharges but not as underpaid, because he only focuses on she'ilu lo hir b'lo damim, lo hayamocher, that only because he's charging more. The Beis Yosef is not convinced by this. The Bach, I didn't give you the Beis Yosef, but he's not convinced by this. Diyak of the Magen Mishnah, I gave you the Bach, who touches on this, and he says, right, King Kazuba Rush Bishmo, Vitamishim Dahani Uvde, Devarshe, Vichibe, Hachi, Have Onab, Bishjos, Vamro, Allah, Loshana, Lokech, Menatak, Lokech, Mabalabais, In Lo Onab, Yosem, Bishjos, Lo Ashkan, Vichalak, Talmuda, etc. Skip to the third line. He says, it was Sefer Bet Gavaya. This is the Beis Yosef. Says, we did our Rambam because of Ein Lo Ona Yesh Ladaktik the Sphere Lake Ketosis Veharash Adkan Lashono. He thinks they passed like the Rush up to a sixth. Umiunir because of Rambam Shilu Lo Hirba Lo Bedamim Lo Yamochar Klit Dashmisho Alma Mashem Lashono Dafilu Hirba Biyosher Mishos Chen Gazav Rav Magid Mefarshim. He says the Beis Yosef thinks the Rambam agrees with the Rush that it's only up to a sixth, but the Rambam doesn't say it. Right, and therefore he paskins against Shulchan Aruch, because as we'll see, Shulchan Aruch, on the assumption that the Rambam agreed with the Rosh about a sixth, paskined the limitation of a sixth, but the Bach rejects Shulchan Aruch. Look at 19 in Shulchan Aruch. Balabayit hamochar kli tashmisho v'ines alokech ein bo dino na she'ilu lo hir b'lo bedamim lo hayamochar kli tashmisho v'afil machar machmas dochach ein bo na v'yesh mishomer dafshir lokech yodeh shezam mochar balabayit aval im lo yodeh oshakon yodeh zirshu yesh lo bo na. And some people say it's only if you know that he's a balabayit, but not if you don't know he's a balabayit, or if he does it through a sirsur. That was the rush. And hademocher klik tashmisho v'ines alkech ein lo dino na hani mila bishchos av yosher mishchos arei kishar kadam v'yish cholkem. Right? Some say it's only at a sixth. Some argue. Parenthetically, Pischei Tshuva quotes in the Gali Masechta that even if you think that you can that balabayit has no na even more than a sixth, obviously there's actually a mum. It will be chozer, because the mum has nothing to do with price. It has to do with the fact that there was a mekachtos. That should be obvious to everyone. Now, what about this issue of the sirsur, right? How do we actually paskin? When there's a sirsur, is there or is there not assumed either mechila or acceptance of subjective value or whatever what we're going to say? So it's a machlokas, the sman, the taz. I gave you the summary in the nesivos. So he says, shekani de sirsur perish. Im yada lokeya, afim yada lokeya, shein shal balabayis, mikomakam kemen shal balabayis, masun le sirsur limkor. L'misha yavolo knoso. Even if you know that it's a private individual selling, right? You hired someone to sell it for you on eBay and everyone knows that's what's happening. Since you hired someone else to do it, it shows that you're not that emotionally attached to it. Vaday nisyaish. So even when you know that it's coming from a balabait, if he doesn't do it himself, there is no heter of balabait. Ki lo yeda lo kechshinja balabait, because since he knows that someone might not realize a balabayit, he gives up on his rights as a balabayit. And that's what the Sma says. For the Taz is cholik. He says, no, it's not about the magic of there being a seer store. The point is, do you or do you not know that you're buying from a private individual? If you know you're buying from a private individual, who cares if he sold it to himself or through an agent? And therefore, the Taz is cholik and says that in that case, there will be Okay, we're at an hour, so we're going to have to stop here. The truth is that there's not really that much more here.
How much time are you going to need for next year?
Look what I still have here. I think I could do it in 15 minutes, because most of it is just the articles at this point, which I'm not going to read through. So maybe we'll finish it next week. Okay.